Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, March 17th, 2011. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, Law Office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. This call is being recorded. Please note that this is a community conference call being provided as a courtesy. Participating in this call does not mean that we have agreed to represent you or you have agreed to be represented by us. This call is also being recorded, so if you don't want your voice to be recorded or the content of your conversation to be recorded, please do not participate. You can just listen. I would also strongly encourage you to keep your identities confidential. I will be answering questions only that have been from the questions that have been posted. So this is not a Tri-Valley University call, although I did see that there was one question from one of the TVU students. I will answer that question. But this is not a Tri-Valley University call. That call we are doing on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, every week. Okay? So, just 1 second. Just 1 second. Okay, now let me get started with the questions. I will run through the questions once, and then I will ask you folks if you have any follow-up questions. You can raise your hand when the time comes. I will tell you how to do that, and I will unmute you. Let me get started with the questions. The first question is from Sai for GC. He wants to know, with 11 years of experience and taking an evaluation that the three-year degree is equal to a four-year bachelor's degree, can I apply for EB-2? I think it's very, very unlikely. I don't think it's going to work. Second, I want to visit India using advanced parole or getting H-1B stamp in India. Which is better? Under the current circumstances, I would prefer that you come back on advanced parole because getting H-1 visa stamps in India has become extremely difficult. Next question is Kalyan0510. He's a student from TVU. Guys, TVU calls I'm doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So join me on those 3 days. Those calls are only for TVU students. Okay, my case is I'm a student from TVU from June 2010, and on 22nd November 2010, I filed for H-1B. I've upgraded my H-1B to premium processing. What are my options? Do I need to wait for my H-1B visa or apply for a university and reinstatement of my CVIS? Kalyan, you can also apply for reinstatement. That's a good option for most TVU students. You can also leave USA and wait in India for the H-1 process to be completed. Those are the two options that I can see. The choice is yours. Next question is Ready One. I am a Canadian. Oh, by the way, Kalyan, you can also wait till the at end of the H-1B premium processing. Have your lawyers follow up and see what's going on with the H-1B. If it is going to get approved or adjudicated within a few days, you're okay. You can wait. Otherwise, then you can take the choice of reinstatement or leaving USA. Ready One. Hello, Rajiv. I'm a Canadian citizen now married to a U.S. citizen for 1 year. I filed the I-130 and got a notice stating I was approved. However, the approval notice said not eligible to file adjustment. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Why would they say that? So what I would want you to do is I would want you to contact your congressman's office and have them follow with the USCIS. It appears to me to be an error. I don't know why they would say that you're ineligible to receive adjustment of status. I'm assuming that you are in the United States, that you entered USA just like a normal entry, not like an advanced parole. If you entered USA and you came into USA, through normal entry, you should be allowed to get adjustment of status. That doesn't make any sense. Next question. Also remember, if you have to file a motion to reopen, you have a limit of number of days I think it's 33 days or 30 days, something like that. So don't miss that deadline. You may want to file a motion to reopen. while you are following up with your congressman's office. Next question, YFAR Hana. I'm preparing to apply for TN, but I had a rough time with HR. HR wants SSN to do a background check, but since I'm currently on H4, I'm not eligible for SSN. Is there a possibility to get a non-working SSN? Yes. If you can call the Social Security Administration, they can issue Social Security numbers for non-work-related reasons, depends upon what the reason is. And by the way, your HR should know that on H4 you are not able to get an SSN, and obviously they can't do a security check or a background check. They should talk to their lawyers, and if they don't have a lawyer, they're welcome to call us. Next question, Saba 303. And Saba had a weird issue. They basically denied the 485 because her daughter, the petitioner, was not with them in the interview. And that's not necessary as far as I know. This appears to be something that should have been reopened. Okay? So I would have said that you should have filed a motion to reopen. Now, my problem is, you were in Canada, and then you traveled back to U.S. on AP. This is after the denial of your 485. I doubt very much. I don't remember the law off the top of my head, but that's something that needs to be looked at. See, not everybody is entitled to adjustment of status, okay? Are you allowed adjustment of status if you have entered on advanced parole on an already declined application? That's a legal issue somebody has to look up for you. I have my doubts about this, and this is definitely something that you need to look at. Was traveling back to U.S. after issuance of denial notice, will it have an impact on new application? I just told you. Is our status okay? I have some issues here. Can USCIS start removal proceedings? They could. Anything can be done. The question is, would the judge let you voluntarily depart? Yeah, I think so. But this is beyond your hands, Saba. You should get yourself a lawyer. Let them study this issue. This is not something that I would want you to fool around with yourself. Okay? Next question, Naveen 256, rental income on H1. There are two questions on H1. One is from Lakshma K. I am Akshay. So Akshay and Naveen, both have a question on H1. Guys, the general rule on H1 is that if the income is generated through passive investment, which means you are doing nothing whatsoever to earn that income, it probably is okay. That's my guess. Okay? But if there is anything you need to do actively, to take the example of stocks, if you invest in stocks and you just leave it alone, it's probably okay. But if you are doing day trading, that could be objectionable because you are very actively involved. So rental income, if you are doing management of the property, I think that's probably illegal. But if you are basically not doing anything, you just invested in a house and then you backed off, I think it's a problem area, because even if you backed off, you probably would have to hire some kind of a management company. And to me, that appears to be unauthorized. So I have my doubts about rental income, because indirectly there is some management involved somewhere. Okay? Then Akshay wants to know, I've started a business on H1B, but I'm not working in it. Again, Akshay, the problem is the same. We've got to have a situation where you are not doing anything actively at all. Just one second. Just one second. They are paging me about something urgent from the office. Okay, so So that covers it, guys. As long as it is passive and you're doing nothing, not raising a single finger to do anything, it's probably okay. But both when it comes to rental income and businesses, I think there is a little bit more than just putting money into a passive investment involved. So that becomes an unauthorized employment. That can become a problem. Okay. Next question is Shruti. This is Raghu. He says, I have my labor approved with my current employer, EB3. I-140 approved with 45 filed as single, not married then. Thinking about porting to EB2 using my current employer or through a different employer. Major issue is that they don't have a copy of the I-140 approval notice. I don't think that's going to be a big problem, because what they have started doing, USCIS actually actively scans pending I-140 approvals for you and automatically assigns you the date that is applicable to you. You could also try filing Freedom of Information Act request / Privacy Act request to see if you can get a copy of the I-140 paperwork. It's worth a shot, okay? And the form for FOIA, F-O-I-A, Freedom of Information Act request, it is on the USCIS website under the forms. Just type FOIA and you should be able to pull out that form. It's free. Worth it. Okay. Next question is from Proud T. Sorry, Raghu, just to finish up. So you could do it even without the I-140 approval notice, I think. We've had situations like this before. At the same time, file for a Privacy Act request / FOIA request. In the meantime, get the process started for EB2. Proud T says, I'm an F1 student graduating in May. Since it is my second master's, I used up my OPT. A company wants to do H1B, but they need to start earlier than October. Is there any other visa? No, sir. CPT, yes, but be careful that the university is a reliable university. You know, how do you check that? Well, first of all, check that they are in good standing with the state, that they are an accredited university. Of course, they have to be able to issue you a CVIS number. They must be CVIS approved. And number three, I would also suggest just do some, Googling or search on the web to see if the university has any negative information on it. If not, go ahead and do it. Get your CPT. Universities that issue CPT from the very first semester, I have come under some scrutiny because of Tri-Valley University situation. Although the law does allow DSOs to provide OPT or CPT from the very first semester, as long as it is an integral part of your graduate level degree. You can't do it at undergrad, but graduate level degrees, you can start CPT from the very first semester. Okay, I already answered Akshay's question. Next question is from Andrew GC. Andrew says, I-140 revoked after GC approval. Andrew, once your green card is approved, the employer can do nothing. I mean, I don't see how they can hurt you unless there is actually some fraud in your background. In that case, they probably are equally complicit in the fraud. I am not concerned. They can do whatever they want. Let them inform USCIS. As long as you have not committed any fraud, I don't see what problem they can create for you. Don't worry about it. Okay? If they revoke the I-140, so what? It doesn't mean anything. Can you change your field? Let me see. When did you get your green card? I didn't have that. You got 45 approved in July 2010. Oh, I have no problem with you leaving. Can they harm my 45 case now? No. Can I change my field and start business? Yes, absolutely. Is 8 months sufficient time? Go for it, Andrew. I have no problem with it. Next question is Mon KS. I'm a current legal permanent resident with a green card. The green card is dated July 19, 2006, and as an asylee, what is the earliest I can apply? You can apply for citizenship 90 days before the fifth year of your green card approval. So 5 years, count 5 years, and then count 90 days back from 5 years. That's when you can apply. Help put a family together. That's Mark. Okay, let's see what the story is. Mark, cousin met an incredible girl, became good friends. He managed to save enough to go and visit for 3 months. Now, I'm assuming your cousin is outside USA. On arrival to the U.S., yes, he is. On arrival to the U.S., he was pulled aside and intensely interviewed. Okay. They were just friends, and later on, within 3 months, they became close and finally got together. He proposed, and then he returned to U.K. This was last summer. This year, she traveled here. Here, I believe, must be U.K., for 2.5 weeks, and they decided that rather than settling in U.K., my cousin would like to move to USA, where his now fiancé has 2 other young children. At this point, my cousin is working hard to get a qualification. That would, okay. He's about to become a father. Okay, so he wants to come to USA, which is the best visa, fiancé visa. Go for a K as in kite one, K-1 visa. Not difficult to get. In my view, you don't need a lawyer for this. You can do it without a lawyer. Guy doesn't have any money. He's got a baby coming in. Go for it. General questions I can answer for you. Do some research on the web. Look at the travel.state.gov website, travel.state.gov. Look at the USCIS.gov website. Look at immigration.com. Look at the forums under immigration.com. There are plenty of other places. Get all this information together, and least, and most of all, read the form, the forms that are involved. Read the forms, read the form instructions. It's not that difficult to do. Next question, so go for a fiancé visa. The only requirement is within 90 days of entry on a fiancé visa, he's got to get married to her. Next question is immigration 26. I came to USA on a C1D visa, filed for asylum, got married, planning to move to Australia. We both want to go. Is it possible from here without going back to my home country? Your question relates to an Australian visa. I have absolutely no clue, sir. So you're going to have to talk with somebody who practices Australian law or just call the Australian consulate. Next question, Roku Tube. I am in Georgia on an H-4. The attorney forgot to file an extension. So Roker says the attorney forgot to file an extension. My spouse got her H-1B. H-4 extension has just been applied. Look, if your H-4 extension has been applied, you are not out of status. Even if your I-94 expires on March 20th, I don't see any problem with that. Now, getting driver's license extensions, I understand that's a problem. Can you sue the attorney for an India trip travel cost to get a new I-94? I doubt that very much, very, very much. Remember, first of all, no lawyer is going to pick up a lawsuit this small, because for a couple of $1,000s, for a lawyer to sue somebody, probably not worth it. You can talk to your lawyer if they want to, you know, contribute towards your, you know, recovery of some damages. That might be possible. You can try going to Canada or Mexico to get your H-4 visa stamping. So these are some of the things that you could do. But just waiting for the H-4 to come is a good option. And if there's a problem with the DMV, talk to a legislator at the state level, not a congressman, but a legislator at the state level, and have them talk with the DMV that people like you are not illegal. They are in authorized period of stay, which is not full status, but still you're not illegal in USA. You should be entitled to a driver's license. If the legislator's office wants to talk to us to get some sense of what is involved, they are welcome to call. Okay, Amit says, my case is I got married, moved to USA in Jan 2011, currently on H-4, filing my H-1B on 1st April. Can I go to India? Yes, you can, but then you cannot come back. Well, you can come back, but you would have to apply for a change of status again. So what you can also do is you can stay in India when the H-1 is approved. Around August, September, you can get your H-1 visa stamping. Let me rephrase that. You can get your H-1 visa stamping, but enter USA only 10 days before October 1st. That's kind of the law. So, yeah, you can go, But then you would have two choices, either to stay in India or to come back on H-4, then when the H-1 is approved, probably apply for a change of status again. No, actually, you know, let me rephrase that. That's not true. No, that is true, because by leaving, you have abandoned your change of status. So once again, go to India and wait there, or if you come back without waiting and you come back on H-4, you will have to apply for H-1 change of status again, which is like doing the H-1 all over again. The fees are a little less. Then Subhas wants to know, H-1 approval notice withdrawn before change of status date, is it cap counted? No problem. As far as I know, no issue at all. So let's say your H-1 was effective October 1st, but in August, after the H-1 approval, the employer revoked the H-1. Are you subject to the cap? In my opinion, you are not. Jay Nai, single unmarried female, 21, over 21, sponsored by parents for I-130. Now they are becoming citizens. Will this speed up the process? You have to go to the visa bulletin and compare the times, okay? And if indeed it is advantageous for you to go through the citizen category, then write a letter to USCIS, have your parents write a letter to USCIS informing that they want an upgrade in the green card, okay? Sid says, posting this question on behalf of one of my relatives, she's on H-4. Citizen couple want her to work as a maid cook and take care of their children. First of all, Sid, if she's India-born, there are no options to do this. If she's not India-born, some of the countries, listed countries, are entitled to, or not entitled to, but they can try to get an H-2 visa or H-3. Let me think about this. H-3 is training. Yeah, H-2 visa. So, but that's not available for citizens of India. Okay. Next question is from Ashoraja 9. So if you apply for a J-1 waiver, is it possible to continue on J-1 after getting waiver? Also, can one apply for extension of J-1? Well, from what I remember, J-1 waiver and an extension applying after getting the waiver has always been an issue very, very, very uncertain. The last time I visited this issue, it appeared to be working this way. You should never apply for a J-1 extension after a waiver has been granted. It is full of problems. That's my understanding from the last time I visited this issue. I haven't looked at this issue for a couple of years now. Okay. So has the person to change status to either H-1, O-1, or H-4? I think it's a good idea to change status and not get a J-1 extension, Ashok, but I have not visited this issue for a while. One good place to do this is go to http://travel.state.gov and look at the frequently asked questions, and they should have a number you can call to ask this question from the State Department. Let me know what they say, okay? Next question, Dame. I am in 485 EB3 pending, wife not included. Priority date is current for EB2. Current employer is not willing to file an EB2. Can a would-be employer apply for GC in EB2? Yes. Using my priority date of EB3? Yes. On future employment basis? Yes. When should I start working for the new employer? As soon as you can. I would suggest maybe before the I-140 or maybe even after the I-140. There's really no law on this issue. Some people do it right after I-140 is approved. Some people do it because the I-140, 485 can be concurrently filed. So what you can do is join just before the I-140 is filed. Will this impact my current H-1B status? The future green card does not. Will my current employer get notified? No. Should my wife need to be in the country for the entire time? No. And your lawyer can figure out for you what is the best time to go and come back and if there's any problems in between. Next question is also from Dame. 221G issue in India. Is it safe to go to third nation for stamping? Does the issue exist for H4 stamping as well? The answer is going to a third country is probably not going to remove your 221G problem. Okay? does the issue exist for H4 stamping as well? If the H1 cannot get his stamping, H4 will have the same problem, most probably, okay? Then Ashok, AT, I'm planning to convert my visa from L1 to H1. Seventh year of L1, I do not believe you can get an H1 because you've already taken away 6 years of L1, and therefore getting an H1 is not possible unless you leave USA for 1 year. Or unless you have some time outside USA that you can recapture. Last question for today is KMLNOP. He says, I've been working with Company A for more than 5 years on H-1B. Company B started green card using labor substitution, I-140 approved, also EAD and AP in hand. Concurrently filed both. I'm still with Company A. Recently changed to EAD, but still with Company A. I didn't file AC-21. Now I have another good offer from Company C. Educational qualification experience is similar to the labor substitution. Job title is also okay, but the skill set is different. So the bottom line of the question is it possible to do an AC-21 for a job that requires a different skill set? And the answer is yes. So even though you are going from JSP, HTML, XML to SAP or vice versa, it is not what technologies you are using, at least in my opinion. It is the nature of the job. So if you're a software engineer and you do system architecture or software architecture, whether you're doing it on Unix or Windows, it shouldn't matter. Whether you're, you know, if you're a programmer or a programmer analyst, whether you're working with SAP or with JSP, HTML, XML, it shouldn't matter. That's my opinion. Okay. So in my view, it should not be a problem. But there are other issues here. You should talk to a lawyer. Don't fool around with an AC-21. It's got to be done right. Okay? Get an opinion. Make sure that it disqualifies. Now, anyone has a question, what you've got to do is press 5-star on your phone. 5-star. Press 5-star. Okay, I am unmuting somebody from area code 972.
Hey, Rajiv, this is Dame.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. And my question is it okay to join the would-be employer after I get the physical green card?
It is okay. It can be questioned because what comes to mind is why would an employer want to do this for you? Okay. And if there's a good enough next, you know, so far USCIS has never raised this issue very strongly because under the law it is allowed. It is allowed for you to join them afterwards. So to answer your question, theoretically, yes, but the question can be asked, why is this employer being so kind to you? And if you have a good answer for that, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Okay, guys, I'm going to unmute everybody. If anybody has any questions, just 1 second. Does anybody have any questions or follow up on? Yeah, go ahead, please.
This is Naveen 256, question number 7 on renting out the house.
Yes, sir.
I'm currently in a house and I plan to move to a newer one. And, you know, the market is down, so I was thinking about renting it for a year or so before moving. I have not yet decided whether to use a property manager or not, and I think I heard you say using a property manager would be illegal.
No, even, see, the thing is, this is the way I analyze the situation. Anything you do that involves any active participation from you in an income-generating activity is likely to be classified as unauthorized employment by USCIS. We are talking about issues of judgment here. Mm-hmm. I have no data to back my opinion up with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to the best of my knowledge, the only exception USCIS has made to income-generating activity on an H-1 is as follows. If you are an academician, like a college professor, and you mm-hmm. do lectures, and you get paid for that occasionally, they don't consider that to be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay? I'm just using my common sense and whatever legal knowledge I've accumulated over the last few years, I made a guess that if the income is totally passive, you are okay. But the further away you get from passive, the more exposure you have to charges of unauthorized employment. Now, you have to make a judgment somewhere. if I'm going to lose $100,000 on my darn house, and USCIS is going to come and at some point say, look, you're out of status, go outside USA, get a new visa, and come back, heck, I'll take the risk.
Okay.
But that's common sense. That's not law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, in a situation like yours, look, I'm not doing this to earn money. I'm doing this to save my money.
Right.
Because if I just sell at this point of time, I'll take a big hit.
Right.
Okay? And I personally, you know, I can tell you what I would do personally. I would do it. Okay? But is it safe? Is it 100% beyond question? No, sir.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Good luck, Naveen. All right, guys. Somebody else has a question. Go ahead, please. You're all unmuted. You can talk.
Rajiv?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Subhash. I had posted a question on Capcom.
On what? I'm sorry?
On whether I'm cap counted, my H-1 was approved. And
yes, and the answer is no, you are not subject to the cap, in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, I guess I didn't understand when you said that everything is okay, what that implies.
Yeah, what I meant was, you see, the fact that the H-1 has not yet kicked in, for example, H-1 begins on October 1st, and they withdraw your case on August 1st. I don't really care because the H-1 was approved. You have been cap counted. So,
okay.
In my opinion, it's not a problem.
Okay. Okay, so
okay.
It's... I mean,
you
say
are
it's
not
an opinion,
subject
so
to
how...
Order.
Right. So when you say it's an opinion, I mean, how does USCIS interpret these cases? They have their own laws?
I don't think it's going to be a problem. You have a copy of your approval notice?
Yes.
That's all you should need.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, my potential employer's immigration counsel, they were not sure, so they were
This
them.
Call is being recorded. Feel free to play it for them.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. And one curiosity question.
Yes, sir.
Why do you do this service?
I'm sorry?
Why do you do this service?
Because I enjoy it.
Okay.
You see, 2 minutes of my time can help somebody who's been messing around for hours upon hours trying to find the information, or would normally have to spend thousands of dollars just to get some silly answers for, you know, 2 minutes. Of course, we do paid consultations all the time, and I charge quite handsomely for it. But, you know, if I can, just an hour of my time and 30, 40 people or 25, 30 people get questions answered, I like it. Why not? I can afford to do it. Does that answer your question?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I always do things that I like to do, not what I should be doing.
Okay.
Folks,
right.
Anybody else has a question? Very good. This conference call lasted only a half hour, I'm very pleased to say, but we are doing Tri-Valley University conference calls every other day, and they typically last between an hour and 2.5 hours. So, guys, good talking with all of you. We are back to doing community conference calls, so I'll see you in 15 days, the Thursday after the next one. Thank you for being here. Good luck.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.